That I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another. But we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And today we're going to talk a little bit about ballot harvesting. Today also is the day that Donald Trump is going to have his property seized and put out of business in America. I mean, it's kind of crazy, right? No, a victimless crime. Do you know, I heard this. Bernie Madoff, who had a Ponzi scheme that cost, you know, in the numbers of the billions, his bail was $10 million. His, his appeal or his bond or whatever it was, $10 million. So Donald Trump's is a half a billion. we're gonna play some audio to this effect and get to the bottom of it. But I gotta tell you, man, this is just so obvious. So we also have some audio that we're gonna share with you that's gonna really shine a light on what the illegal ballot harvesting is all about. Alabama just passed a new law that limits ballot harvesting, and the Democrats are all up in arms about it because they don't. You're not allowed to pay people to ballot harvest anymore in Alabama. It's kind of crazy. Like, when was that ever a thing, right? So we're going to go ahead and start because we have some audio that we want to share. And I'm going to start off with Donald Trump. And because today's the day that Letitia James is going to go after and seize his properties. So Eric Trump weighs in on this, and he did this on Sunday Morning Futures. But before we get to that interview, we're going to listen to this guy speak about it. So let's take a listen.
Let's put this into perspective. Bernie Madoff, who defrauded investors of billions of dollars, only had to put up a $10 million bond. And Trump, Luke with Lloyd. No direct victims in this potential crime, has to put up $450 million, right? So the fact of the matter is, it's very politically driven. And every American out there should be scared of the fact that if they can go after somebody like Donald Trump, who is a billionaire, they can come after you. And frankly, with the IRS agents, of 180,000 IRS agents being added over the past couple of years. That tells me that really the government's looking to get involved in all of our pocketbooks, right? And another thing to put into perspective is, you know, $500 million of cash, you know, on a $2 billion net worth, that's like a middle-class America. If you had a $300,000 mortgage and $100,000 in savings, it's like getting $100,000 in savings completely wiped out. You're now left with a $300,000 mortgage, and maybe you have to get a home equity line of credit to pay for your lifestyle, right? So everyone should put these into dollar terms to be relatable in how Trump is truly feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason that so many people are worried about doing business in New York. They're saying, if this can be done to him, what about me? Yep. Todd Pyro, your reaction?
I mean, that's 100% right. And you've seen the people with the money who, despite what the Democrats love to say about them, are the engines that keep our economy moving because they're the ones that hire people. If they're not going to come to New York City, New York City's in big trouble. And it's that doom loop that we've talked about a lot with these big cities. You're right, because if you don't have those big investors in the city, you lose your tax base. And if you lose your tax base, you lose the ability to pay for all of these programs, because the people that will then fill these cities are not the ones that are supporting the tax base. That's a huge problem for public safety. It's a huge problem for the politicians who run it. And nothing will change unless the people that vote those individuals out for people who have their best interests in mind. This all comes back to Trump. He's shining a light with his legal difficulties on the horrific system in these big cities like New York, and it shows why people are flocking to places where you don't have to worry about this. And Maria, let me add, you can work in any place in our country right now following the pandemic because of remote work. You don't need to be in New York City. The only reason a lot of people are in this city, Maria, and you well know, is single people trying to find a mate. I mean, let's be realistic. That's how.
I disagree with that last part. I lived in New York, and I didn't find a mate in New York. I found a mate outside of New York, brought her into New York. But you know, that's kind of interesting you put it that way. New York is a great city, but it was once a great city. It's no longer a great city because Democrats have destroyed it. Democrats have destroyed everything. I mean, when they talk about tax the rich, Bernie Madoff, millionaires and billionaires, you know, that kind of thing. Not Bernie Madoff, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Madoff. We were just talking about Bernie Madoff, right? But no, Bernie Sanders, right? You know, the Vermont socialist communist, right? He was all about millionaires and billionaires. You're going to, you know, tax the rich. Well, taxing the rich is not the answer. The rich already pay the lion's share of the tax base. You know, but it's all in the name of equity, DEI. But if you... You know, the people that are working, like I said, when I got back from Italy, I remember that what was missing was the middle class. And what struck me as I was in Venice, and I was looking at a pair of pants that was 1,500 euros. 1,500 euros for a pair of pants. And the woman selling it, you obviously, you know, wasn't making enough money to buy those pants. So it was all about the people coming in off their yachts, buying the $1,500 pants, you know, probably friends with Klaus Schwab in Davos. And basically just, you know, not living in Venice, but living somewhere else. So, you know, you get a lot of these people that are working in the hotels and working in the kitchens, running the dishwasher and changing the linens and washing the sheets. You know, all these different people working in the lower echelon realms of hospitality and services. They're living, you know, with roommates in Brooklyn. Well, Brooklyn's actually kind of refined now. So they're Staten Island, right? Or the Bronx. Or Queens. And they're stacked up living in a shared environment. And then they could barely afford, but they go into New York because New York pays the most. But that's ending. Because once the rich leave, once the wealthy people leave New York, and I don't think we're seeing the ramifications yet of what is going on with the Trump thing. But like everything else that Trump has touched, whether it be Washington, D.C. or New York City, everything that Trump has touched has had a significant impact because he's such a interesting person. This whole thing about Trump derangement syndrome is real. It's a real thing. Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, it is very real. And it's causing reactions that are exposing the truth. I mean, he single-handedly ruined how many different politicians' careers? Look at Liz Cheney. She's gone. Look at all these people. They're all gone. Nobody wants them anymore. Mitt Romney was exposed. The Bushes exposed. The Cheneys exposed. Because Paul Ryan, right? I mean, everybody knows that Paul Ryan is a rhino. And now, guess what? We found out that Ronna McDaniel is a rhino. She was on Meet the Press over the weekend. Oh, man. She said that J6ers should rot in hell for eternity on Meet the Press. Can you believe it? Ronna McDaniel exposed herself because she's looking to get a job on NBC. Crazy, right? You know, Michael Steele hates Trump. He was the RNC chairman. Why is it that the RNC keeps on hiring these Koch brother style things? And why is it, you know, the Democrats talk about the Koch brothers as if they're like George Soros. But they're more like George Soros than they give him credit. Because the Koch brothers are actually liberal. The Koch brothers aren't even conservative. They're not. They hate Trump. So let's take a listen to Eric Trump talking about what is about to go down today. This was on Sunday Morning Futures. Let's take a listen.
So the first question, of course, is how are you dealing with this? What is your plan to meet this judgment?
Yeah. Well, so sad. First of all, I'm a guy that grew up in New York. My father built the skyline of New York, and this is an election interference. And they go out and they ask you to post a $500 million bond. Maria, I want to put that in context. I went out to the largest sureties in the world, the largest sureties in the country. They said, Eric, the last time we've seen a bond of that size is when we did the big dig in Boston, which was a $25 billion construction project that lasted almost 25 years. They're trying to put my father out of business. They're trying to take all his resources that he would otherwise put into his own campaign for presidency. This is New York State. This is what we're seeing. Letitia James campaigned on this promise, and now they're making him do something that's not physically possible. Putting up a $500 million bond, bonds that size don't exist in this country. A $10 million bond is a large bond. A $15 million bond is an enormous bond. A $500 million bond? And Maria, remember one thing. The banks all testified Trump was the greatest borrower we've ever had. I mean, there was no victim. This is a crooked system with a crooked attorney general in a crooked court that literally wants to put my father out of business. And you know who they're actually going to hurt? They're going to hurt the thousands and thousands of employees that we have in New York State. These are janitors. These are doormen. These are, you know, people that work in commercial buildings. They're going to hurt those individuals, not the executive. They're going to hurt those individuals. How about all the contractors that we employ to do build outs? How about, you know, everybody else that relies on our family, thousands of people, yeah, all for their own political vendetta? It's insane.
I'm trying to understand how this number came about, $454 million or $464 million, and what the real number is. How did they come up with this number?
You know what? It was a crooked number. There are no victims. There is no number.
Right.
The number should be zero. My father's run a great company. I run a great company. We've never had a default. We've never missed a payment. We've never been in a breach of covenant. Every single one of our lenders came out, and he goes out, and the judge comes out and says, you know, I want to take disgorgement. I want to go back, and I want to take interest rates that you paid on mortgages and put it up to 10, 11, 12% and go back 20 years. And we already won this in the appellate court. The appellate court already said that there's a statute of limitation, that 99% of what he put in there is thrown out. But Maria, this isn't about this. This is lawfare. They want to hurt my father, who is winning the presidential race right now. He's beating Biden in every single poll, in every single swing state. He came out and said he wants to put hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money into his campaign.
Right.
And how do they deprive him of that? They have that judge that you have on the screen right there come up with an astronomical number, give you zero time to post a bond that's not even commercially available in the United States. No one's ever seen a bond this size. Every single person, when I came to them saying, hey, can I get a $500 million bond? Maria, they were laughing. They were laughing.
Yeah.
Top executives of the largest surety companies had never seen anything of this size. And what, they're going to start seizing assets if he can't put up something that's not available in the United States?
You said there were no victims. No one lost any money. You've paid everything back in plenty of time. So have you heard from the business community in New York? Are you disappointed that you're not hearing more outrage from others? I mean, I've certainly heard from Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. He says he's questioning whether or not he'll ever do business in New York again because of this.
Sure. And by the way, and Joe Rogan's talking about it every single day, and everybody else is talking about it. The entire Florida real estate community is laughing. The judge said that Mar-a-Lago was worth $18 million. $18 million. You can't buy anything on the island of Palm Beach for $18 million, let alone by far the largest house. A house that's probably worth $1 billion. I mean, Maria, this is the entire Florida real estate community is laughing at this. The entire real estate community in general is petrified of New York. You know how much business New York State is losing because of this? Because they see this radical, and you even have the governor, Kathy Hochul, comes out and says, right, you know, we're going to do this to Trump, but we're not going to do it to any of you. Don't worry about it. We'll do it to him, but we won't do it to any of you. Mm-hmm. Maria, they're trying to deprive him of his cash. They want to bankrupt him. They want to hurt him so badly, and it's going to backfire because he's going to win this in November, and everybody in this country universally knows exactly what these people are doing.
So whatever money he has on hand, he wanted to put that toward the election and campaigning, which is, of course, what you've just said, that this is election interference. Will you be able to put up any money? Is there a plan in terms of putting up a portion of it?
We've offered that. We've 100% offered that, and we're waiting for the appellate division, and I hope the appellate division comes back with something that's very sensible. But we've offered that. We've tried to be very reasonable, and we're going to win this entire case because the entire case is crazy. You had a runaway judge who just ruled against something that, again, the appellate division has already knocked out 85% of this case, but that's not the point. This is legal lawfare. They don't care. They just want to hurt a man, and again, they're sending tremors across this country. And by the way, Maria, I want to mention one other thing. People internationally are watching the charade. Mm. America's losing our standing in the world. When they see this, people invest in America from all over the planet because they know we're the safe harbor, that this kind of stuff can't exist and doesn't exist. And now they're seeing this exist in the United States. You know the damage that does to our country?
Eric, you and your brother have also been ordered to pay a judgment. What role did you have in any of this?
Absolutely nothing. And the judge, even in his final, you know, closing days, said that we had nothing to do with it. So all of a sudden, when we were put in a judgment, you know, that we each have to pay $4 or $5 million and we can't do business in New York, which the appellate court has already stayed. I'm sitting there saying, wait a second, you're in your final order, you said that we had nothing to do with this case. And now all of a sudden we can't do. Maria, the more that they can name the Trumps and the more that they can hurt us, the more they think it's going to benefit Joe Biden in 2024.
Go ahead.
Please.
Go back to the reason that this is happening in the beginning. Because they say he over inflated his assets valuations, you had auditors looking at those valuations, correct?
Yeah, and you had a disclaimer that's 3 pages long saying, these are our values. You know, we believe Mar-a-Lago's worth this. And by the way, the values were very low. We believe Mar-a-Lago's this. So we believe Doral's worth this. But if you disagree with any of these numbers, go out and do your own valuations. You know, real estate's subjective. We believe we have the best properties in the world. The values have proven to be low. I sold a hotel in Washington, D.C., that was substantially less money on the statement of financial condition than what I sold the hotel for. You know, it's crazy. The only assets we have ever sold, we sold for more than were ever listed. But again, these points don't matter to these people, Maria. They're trying to hurt an individual.
What is the capacity that President Trump has to continue campaigning should they be able to take this kind of money from him? What happens next if they start seizing assets? And can they do that tomorrow?
Well, in terms of my father, this isn't his first rodeo. What he's had to fight through for the last 8 years, I can tell you as a son, is unthinkable. For every bullet, for every attack that you watch on your show or on TV, Maria, I can tell you there's 1,000 behind the scenes that we deal with as a family. The amount of arrows, the amount of shots that they've taken at this man, and he never, ever stops. He's the toughest guy I've ever met in my entire life. He's going to win in November. I don't care what they do to him. I don't care if they strip him of every single building, of every single property. He will never, ever, ever stop fighting. That's his conviction. That's who he is as a family. That's frankly who we are as a family. And, you know, we've seen this game before, and they can only cry wolf so many times, Maria. And all of America's onto it. They know what this, they know what's happening. You know, Letitia James campaigned on this promise to do exactly this.
That's right.
It's a disgrace to New York State, and I hope the appellate court fixes this problem.
Eric, thank you so much for taking this on and for joining us this morning. Of course, we'll be watching this.
Well, you know, where's the Supreme Court in all this? The Eighth Amendment certainly exists. And the other aspect of it, too, that's kind of interesting, is in the court where this is happening, or the Erdogan court, Erdogan or whatever his name is, that judge... flaky judge hits on women half his age. Whoops. I guess we're going to, we're going to take a call real quick. Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, just real quick. I want to say that Letitia James and I call him Judge Endaround make the New York Mafia shakedowns look like a PTA meeting. This is so out of control, and here's another problem, too. We have a bill that just passed by Mike Johnson. Here's a guy that is looks like Mr. Rogers on steroids that just Schumer runs. Here's another crook from New York, Schumer, who really runs the whole mafia himself. He's another shakedown artist. But yet these people do what they do to
Taylor
Trump
Green,
and get away with it.
This
country is in just burning.
Yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene's proposing to vote Johnson out. The Speaker Johnson?
Have you seen what's in that bill? Have you been looking at some of the stuff they're funding?
What, they call it a minibus,
right? Not one penny,
right?
For the border.
Yeah. I haven't taken a look. Can you share it?
Wait till you start looking at it. You're going to throw up.
Why don't you tell our audience what is in it?
Okay, here's just one. I just want to mention one because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Funding a gay senior retirement center for seniors, for gay seniors. I think it's like in the millions. To stuff like this, I mean, stuff that's so off the wall, but yet there's nothing in there to support and fund the border wall to stop
the border
invasion
security
of America.
Is there anything in it for Ukraine?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's number one priority, Ukraine. I mean, look at when the fraudulent occupier of the White House, first thing out of his mouth on the State of the Union, the State of Ukraine. That's the first thing you talk about.
Right,
Ukraine,
but
not
in
the United States.
In the budget that Johnson is supporting, is it funding Ukraine?
No, there's funding in there. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's funding for everything we don't need, and there's no funding for everything we do need. Let's just put it that way.
That's
the simple bottom line on that bill.
Right.
And Mike Johnson, to lay down like a cheap rug and just have Schumer walk over him. Schumer controls him like a puppet. I'm telling you. He makes Mr. Rogers look like Mr. Rogers. He's Mr. Rogers on steroids. It's disgusting. Wow. This guy should be thrown out. Good for Marjorie Taylor Greene. The only woman with chesticles.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Well, that's I haven't gotten into that minibus yet, but I did see the report of Marjorie Taylor Greene. As a matter of fact, I think I have that interview somewhere along the way. Let's see. Yeah, right here. Why don't we? This was not in my plan, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Let's see. Yeah, right here. Let's go ahead and play this.
He completely failed in that. And he let Chuck Schumer pass this bill in the House because Speaker Johnson forced it on Republicans.
But people,
this bill
are...
not only did nothing for the border, Maria, it funded full-term abortion clinics. It funded horrific trans woke policies that target children in this country. This was not a Republican bill. This was a Democrat bill.
Yeah, but people even in your own party are attacking you, saying we do not need more division. I mean, after all, Congressman, look how many people have left. Ken Buck stepping down, Mike Gallagher stepping down. And Mike Gallagher is leaving at a time that even makes things tougher for the Republicans, right? He's leaving early, isn't he?
You're right, April. Maria. And those people stepping down early and leaving are the ones that are leaving us at risk of the Democrats controlling the majority, not me. I filed this motion to vacate, but I haven't called it to the floor. This is like issuing a pink slip and giving our conference and a notice saying that we have got to find a new speaker. This may take weeks. It may take months. It may not even until next Congress, but Speaker Johnson cannot remain a Speaker of the House. Speaker Johnson has also failed our majority because he is allowing Mike Gallagher to leave Congress after the deadline date, where his district cannot hold a special election and elect a new representative for the rest of this entire Congress. Mike Gallagher betrayed all of us, and Speaker Johnson, as the one who's responsible for our majority, praised Mike Gallagher on Friday after he announced his departure, saying that he's great and praising him and thanking him for his service in Congress. Speaker Johnson should be forcing Mike Gallagher to leave early so that his district can hold a special election. And any strong Republican Speaker of the House would expel a member for leaving our razor-thin majority in such a delicate, delicate state.
Wow.
We cannot allow this.
So what you're saying is he's leaving, and the date that he chose to leave leaves that region of Wisconsin without a representative. You can't even do a special election there. So you've got just no vote there. Are you concerned that this move that you are making is going to hurt the 2024 elections? Is this actually going to hurt your candidate, President Trump?
Not at all. President Trump is overwhelmingly winning this election, poll after poll, because he's a fighter and he's a champion for the American people. Argue that the House would lose the majority if we didn't have President Trump on the ballot. President Trump is going to drag every single Republican across to victory, whether they deserve it or not.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, Republicans are fed up with it. Republican voters want fighters in the House of Representatives to fight like President Trump, and that is exactly what I'm doing.
Okay.
I will force change. I'm not bringing chaos. I'm forcing change.
Real quick, Congresswoman, we got to go. But real quick, what you're saying to me this morning is that this is a pink slip. You may not bring it to the floor when you come back from Easter recess to get Mike Johnson out, but you want to make a message that you are not going to accept any more of no security at the border. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. It's a promise to my conference. Keep the investigations going. Keep the committee work going. Let's do the good work that we're doing. I haven't drawn a deadline, but that doesn't mean that I won't call it to the floor. And
so there it is. Okay. So I knew, you know, I didn't plan on doing that, but it was worth it to hear that. All right. A couple of more things we have going on. Ronna McDaniel showed her true colors. Let's take a listen. Former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel says she doesn't support freeing those charged and convicted with crimes related to January 6th.
All right. Well, let's talk about the election now. Donald Trump says one of his first acts, if he is reelected to a second term, would be, quote, to free those charged and convicted of crimes related to January 6th. Do you support that?
I want to be very clear. The violence that happened on January 6th is unacceptable. It doesn't represent our country. It certainly does not represent my party. We should not be attacking the Capitol. We should not be having violence. I said it that day. I put a statement out that day that this is not acceptable. If you attacked our Capitol and you have been you've been convicted, then that should stay.
So then, but to the question, though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right?
Wow.
Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right? This is what I believe. I don't think violence should be in our political discourse, Republican or Democrat. And I disagree with that. I agree with him on a whole host of other things. Let's close the border. Let's make sure we have good incomes for people. Let's make sure we do a lot of great things. But on that point, I don't think we should be freeing people who violently attacked Capitol Hill police officers and attacked the Capitol.
Wow, what a betrayal, right? Ronna McDaniel. There she is, folks. What? Unbelievable, right? So Trump allies, assuming RNC leadership roles, have vowed to use donations to pay the former president's legal bills. So she actually agrees with that.
You were replaced by Donald Trump's handpicked allies, including his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. There's now this fundraising agreement, which basically means that donations go to the super PAC to pay for his legal bills before they go to the RNC. Is it appropriate for Donald Trump to ask donors to pay for his legal bills?
Well, I think as long as the donors know that that's what they're doing. And so it is in the waterfall of it. It's the Save America before the RNC. What I also think that means is that the campaigns or the RNC is being truthful when they're saying they're not going to pay the legal bills, that it is going to continue to run through the Save America PAC.
But ultimately, these donations are going first to pay his legal bills. People who may be struggling in some cases to make ends meet, is there not an ethical challenge with that?
If they feel strongly to support his legal bills, then they have every right to do so. And I think he's being very open that they're helping with his legal bills.
And you, of course, paid $2 million for his legal bills while he was still in office. Do you have any regrets about that? Do you think that was an appropriate use of RNC funds?
You know, as a former president, as somebody who raised a lot of money into the RNC, we paid less than $2 million in legal bills, and we didn't.
No, oh, that got cut off at the end. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, so, and then here's one final clip. Former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel admits she's absolutely forced out by Trump.
Let's dive right into this and start with your decision to step down as RNC chair. If you can, take me behind the scenes a little bit. Were you pushed out of your role?
Well, there's no question that as RNC chair, you have to remain neutral. And we had a primary process. And so we did have debates, right? We had debates and there was tension and a little friction that started during that process. It was well played out in the media. And I knew at that point when I was doing that role and we were going to have debates that when the nominee came forward and it was likely to be President Trump, that they would want to switch. And that's his right as nominee.
And so were you pushed out by him?
he absolutely wanted me to move aside and wanted Michael Whatley and Lara Trump to come in.
Let's dive right into this and start with your decision to step down as RNC chair. If you can, take me by.
Yeah, so that was that. That's how that went down. And rightfully so. So Frank Luntz, you know, he was the roommate of Kevin McCarthy. And actually, I think Kevin McCarthy might be chief of staff if President Trump is elected. So, you know, we'll see. I would not oppose that, by the way, because I think McCarthy is pretty good at navigating the House. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of McCarthy. I think he's a McRhino, just like McDaniels, Ronald McDaniel, Mitch McConnell, you know, the McRhinos, right? So I'm not a huge fan, but if you're Trump and you're one of one, you know, and you have to get things done in the House and the Senate, you need someone that knows how to navigate those waters. And nobody is a swamp creature better than McCarthy in terms of being a swamp creature. So sometimes you need a swamp guy to navigate the swamp. So Frank Luntz warned CNN seizing Donald Trump's properties will backfire. You're going to elect Donald Trump. He almost says it like on CNN here. He almost says it like regrettingly.
All right, Frank, the politics of this. Folks in the Biden campaign are already starting to refer to Donald Trump as Broke Don, which is interesting. And then there is the possibility that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, would have to start or would start seizing assets, maybe even buildings. How do you think that would play?
I want you to remember this moment and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him. The indictment, let's not talk about whether it's justified or not, but it will prove the things that he's saying on the campaign trail, and he will go up and it may just elect him president. Do not forget that. And I say this to the Attorney General right now. If you play politics on this, this is what the Secretaries of State did in Colorado and what they did in, I believe, was Maine. His numbers went up in both states. I don't understand. I'm almost speechless in how pathetic the opposition to Trump has been and how completely misguided. And this is a perfect example of it.
What do you think about that?
I mean, my biggest question, this is the beauty of Frank having his job, which I don't have, is that happened, what you're talking about, Maine, Colorado, when you're talking about what happened in a primary. And while I don't disagree with the optics, I've spoken to people inside Trump world who are saying, instead of bankruptcy, we sit in the peace. Come to Trump Tower, please. We'll have cameras there. We'll have that fight. We'll win that optics battle. I think the bigger question is, in a general election, and given the fact that the Biden campaign has really latched on to this in a way that they haven't in most legal issues.
Broke
that he's
done.
Dealt with.
I've been surprised to hear that.
He was joking about it last night at a fundraiser as well that was off camera, whether or not that rise in the polls can carry into a general election. And you'd know better. You're talking to people. You'd know better.
How is Donald Trump beating Joe Biden when he's got 85 indictments that still exist? Felonies. How is he beating Joe Biden with the economy getting better and things cleaning up? Okay, we got still have inflation. You still have got immigration. Trump is leading. And in the 7 swing states, Trump is up by the margin of error in 5 out of 7. Why is that happening? Because his critics are stupid and they're running a horrible campaign. And for those people who do not want Donald Trump back, they should be thankful that the people who are orchestrating his loss are as pathetic and they don't understand the American people.
Quick last word.
All right, Frank.
It almost sounds like Frank Luntz regrets this. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. All right, so election integrity under attack, undercover video, illegal alien charity distributing fraudulent papers exposed in Queens, New York. The organization La Giornata provides services to illegal aliens. Let's take a listen.
The left has waged total war on election integrity in the United States of America. A glaring vulnerability right now are the millions and millions of illegal aliens who have invaded the United States, an invasion supported, aided, and abetted by the Biden administration. The video you're about to watch shows how easy an illegal alien can obtain fraudulent residency papers in New York City, the same city that has tried over and over again to have illegal aliens voting in their elections. As the left picks up their continued efforts to rig elections, the Oversight Project will be there watching.
Okay, so what this does is it gets into a video of election fraud, but what this is you know, people are there was a vote in Alabama about ballot harvesting and how it should be illegal to pay people to ballot harvest. Sounds so obvious, right? But that's not what's happening. I mean, Democrats are up in arms saying, how are we going to win elections if we can't steal them? I mean, literally almost like making that argument. It's incredible, right? So I'm just, yeah, I'm trying to find the argument I'm trying to find the audio that I wanted to share with you about that, but I can't find it. The main thing is that it's becoming quite obvious what we've been talking about on the Scott Adams Show for like a long, long time, right? What we've been talking about is that these people coming through the border, not only are these operations supported by corporations that are basically promoting this endless migration. Why? Because cheap labor, right? They want cheaper labor. That's what they want. The corporations pay the politicians to keep the borders open because they want the cheaper labor. Just look at Tyson Foods as one example, right? But then the cartels also are a business. And the cartels are also paying the politicians to keep the borders open. Why? Because they want to distribute drugs. And then the politicians get to exploit the hell out of the voters because they're all high on drugs. And then the liberals that like depopulation and want smaller population, like every globalist on the planet wants to shrink the population, whether it's Bill Gates or whether it's Klaus Schwab or whether it's Boris Johnson's dad, they're all globalists. And they want the population to shrink. They want to get that down. So they want to inject you with a vaccine that impacts reproduction, fertility, but also ignites turbo cancers and myocarditis and heart problems. And these same drug manufacturers like Pfizer invest billions of dollars in new technologies that are designed to profit from the new problems that they themselves created. You know, it reminds me of this conspiracy theory that's going around. I told you about the one where Macron's wife is a man, right? And that's Candace Owens. She's gotten on that bandwagon. She's put her whole career on at stake on that one. Candace Owens also is fighting with Daily Wire. Daily Wire was fighting with Steven Crowder last year. Now they're fighting with Candace Owens this year. I mean, the Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro, you know, are making fools out of themselves. But it's kind of interesting, all of that's playing out. But Kate Middleton is the new conspiracy, right? That's the new conspiracy. The conspiracy is that she's dead already. That she made this big announcement about turbo cancers. And doctors on CNN have come out and said what she said doesn't make any sense. About talking about her health condition, that she had some surgery in January. So, you know, the thing is, it's worth mentioning that William had an affair with another woman and knocked her up. Right? She's pregnant. So, you know, it's sort of like King Charles and Camilla and Diana, right? I mean, it's sort of like, wow. Who knew that Harry and Meghan Markle were the heroes of that family? They decided that the royal family was so disgusting that they wanted to live in Malibu. They wanted to annex from the whole thing. They couldn't take it. Or they were afraid for their lives. If they betrayed the royal family will just off you, kill you. They'll Clinton, Arkansas side you. They'll Clinton side you. Like the Clintons, right? They just kill people. So it is very interesting that you know, I like playing around with conspiracy theories. This is one, though, where Kate Middleton is sitting in a park bench and she's got this outside and none of the backdrop is blowing in the wind. It's all still. Like, it was really like a deep fake. It looked like a deep fake. And so some people are saying she's dead already. How convenient that they come up with this turbo cancer where she'll probably be dead in two months, and then they'll have a grand funeral, and then William can get on with his life with his new mistress. I mean, that's sort of what's being bandied about, right? All right. Tensions rising in Washington. Speaker's job on the line. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's take a listen.
The lady from Georgia is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in extreme opposition to the second part of the omnibus bill. No Republican in the House of Representatives in good conscience can vote for this bill. It is a complete departure of all of our principles, especially if you call yourself pro-life. This bill funds full-term abortion. This is not a Republican bill. This is a Chuck Schumer, Democrat-controlled bill coming from the House majority that is supposed to be controlled by Republicans, but yet our majority has been completely
Members are reminded to direct their remarks to the chair. Please.
Madam Speaker, it is the will of our voters, and it is the will of Republicans across the country that this bill should not be brought to the floor, that this bill will absolutely destroy our majority and will tell every single one of our voters that this majority is a failure. This is the bill that the White House cannot wait to sign into law. This is the bill
that lady from.
Yeah. You know, we need more fighters like that. So governments are creating a fake hate panic to censor, interfere in elections, and imprison the political enemies. So let's take a listen to this. This is from Schellenberger.
The U.S. government and other governments around the world are hyping hate in order to weaponize the government against their political enemies. Ever since the 2019 shooting in New Zealand, governments have been using so-called hate speech, fake news, and misinformation as justifications for censorship. In Ireland, the government is pushing hate speech legislation that would allow police to invade homes seize phones and computers. In Canada, Justin Trudeau is pushing legislation that would even allow the government to sentence individuals to life in prison for things they said. The Biden White House worked with one of the leading groups that hype hate, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, to demand that Facebook and other social media platforms not only censor content they didn't like, but also to remove people they didn't like, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr., from their platforms altogether. The Biden administration endorsed the Christchurch call to eliminate terrorist and violent extremist content online, which had been created by governments in 2019. This focus on so-called hatred, harmful content, and extremist content is extremely dangerous. What one person thinks is extreme, another person may view as common sense. For the government to decide what is extreme is a way of labeling someone as a potential terrorist threat. We saw this clearly with the Trudeau government's outrageous suppression of the Canadian trucker protests in Ottawa, in which people's bank accounts were frozen simply for supporting the anti-vaccine mandate protest movement. The same could happen in the United States. There is no reliable connection between people's beliefs and violence. Attempting to stop violence by censoring speech is totalitarian and Orwellian. It effectively criminalizes speech and creates a whole new category of pre-crime, like that depicted in the dystopian film Minority Report. So why are governments doing this? Part of the reason is the U.S. government and other governments around the world are hyping hate.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we're living in a very, very strange time. And, you know, what can you say? You know, what do you do? The Biden administration is trying to send 82-year veteran to prison for life for the crime of repeating Russian misinformation, the scariest, most important criminal case you've probably never heard of, according to Tucker Carlson. Let's just take a listen to this opening here.
So it was about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, that Russian troops moved into eastern Ukraine, and throughout the West, Western media reported this as a totally unprovoked act of aggression. Who could have seen it coming? But there was, if you paid very close attention, one political group in the United States that had a different explanation for it. And it was a group a lot of people would dismiss as fringe, a group called the African People's Socialist Party. And to be honest, we'd never heard of them. But around this time, they started releasing videos with a different view. Those videos were critical of the United States and NATO. And they pointed out that there was, in fact, a history here, and that NATO had been expanding eastward for quite some time and putting a lot of pressure on Russia. Now, you may agree or disagree with that, but they had a coherent view of it. And to give you an example of what that view was, here's video from the group's chairman, a man called Amali Yeshtela. Watch.
There's a discussion about Russian military border buildup on its border with Ukraine and how this represents a terrible threat to Ukraine by Russians. But there is no acknowledgement of the history that took us to this place, how the U.S. overthrew, participated in facilitating the overthrow of a government in Ukraine that was friendly to the Soviet Union. Nor does it talk about the history of this relationship between Ukraine and Russia. And you have to remember that they're using NATO here too. And NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, was something that came into existence to deal with the Soviet Union or Soviet Russia, as it used to be called. And so this is an ongoing aggression. It did not just start. It's been going on for a while. But the U.S. government relies on the ignorance of the people in this country and much of the world that's facilitated by people like Zuckerberg.
So you can agree or disagree with that analysis. A couple parts of it are indisputably true. One, the U.S. government does rely on the ignorance of its population to do things in that population's name that the population doesn't want. Start all kinds of pointless wars, for example, get people killed, bankrupt the government. That's all real. It's also true that there is a history in Ukraine, and you may or may not think it justifies Russian aggression, but there's no question that NATO has been moving eastward, and it's hard to see why, what benefit there is to the NATO member states. In any case, that's a point of view, agree with it or not. But for some reason, the FBI was watching. They were watching, and they considered sentiments like that not just wrong or offensive, but a crime. And so 3 months later, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, our federal law enforcement tasked with keeping us safe, spent its time and a lot of agents, it looked to be dozens of agents, raiding the home and the office of the man you just saw speaking.
See, and again, it gets into the FBI targeting its adversaries, and people that are speaking the truth are being the ones that are targeted, and that's the problem. So that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. It's MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you'd like to keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free, and we'll see you next time.
We're on the radio. Bye-bye, everybody. Grab a shovel, dig a hole a little deeper.